don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your host, Boyd and Lucinda, for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back.
I gotta do right before they call me home. Good evening and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back show. Today is January 4th, 2012. I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd. And our topic is, as always, the streets don't love you back. Join us every Wednesday night with real people, real stories, and real changes as we hear the truth about gangs, drugs, violence, abuse, and other life issues. We have a great show for you tonight. On December 16th, we had the opportunity of speaking in Rialto, California at Bob Murphy County Community Day School, and we're going to be playing a piece from that here shortly, so you won't want to miss that. We'll have our chat room on. You can chat with us, and then at the end, if there's any callers, we'll answer any questions that you may have. We want to definitely wish everyone a happy new year. 2012 is going to be great. And we do have some special shout-outs that we'd like to go ahead and give on the air. The first one is to young visionary Terrence Stone of San Bernardino, California. The second is Second Call Organization, Skip Townsend, Kim Smith, and Big John out of Compton, L.A. Project Cry No More, Vicki Lindsay out of Compton, California. Freeway Enterprise with The Real Freeway, Rick Ross out of South Central L.A. Word on the Street, Lisa Terrell Perry Amos out of DATL in Georgia. It's Gary's Time, Roger Hayward in Gary, Indiana. Deontay Love, the host of our Keep It Real show in Cincinnati, Ohio. To the United Communities of America, Pastor Ovella Andrus out of Detroit, Michigan. Advocates for Abandoned Adolescents, Darcy De La Prosa. To Team Marco, Making a Radical Change at the Cut Factory in Cincinnati, Ohio. Mad Max Foundation, Mr. Kevin Kim out of California. We'd like to give a special thanks to all of our guests on our radio and TV shows, as well as to all the members of the Streets Don't Let Me Back. And once again, we'd like to thank all those who support our annual Christmas toy drives. And to all of our soldiers and family inside the prison walls that are incarcerated, we'd like to wish you a happy new year and great things to come. And then we'd also like to announce that we're proud to say that our newsletter goes to over 50 different prisons in the United States, Hawaii and Alaska, and that's men and women's prisons throughout the U.S. So if you have a loved one there that would like to receive the newsletter, let us know. We have more announcements, but before we do that, let me welcome my co-host Boy to the show.
I just want to say thank everybody for always tuning into the show every Wednesday and sending your support out to the Streets and Love You Back. Just want to let everybody know, now we do have our own clothesline now, so we would like our members and others to start shopping in our online store at www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.name.com. Start purchasing your hats, start purchasing your t-shirts, start purchasing your thermals, your hoodies, your sweatsuits. I mean, let's just, you know, start putting that on and making it visual for people to see. It's definitely what it is. The streets definitely don't love you back, you know. And also, if you would like to advertise in our newsletter, please don't hesitate to email us at streetsdontloveyouback@gmail.com and get your ad in the newsletter. The newsletter also now goes to a lot of different major record labels, go to a lot of different people in Hollywood. So the newsletter has done expanded abroad, and like the missus said, it goes to over 50 prisons throughout the USA, fed and state women and men. So we started off with just the newsletter going to three prisons, and now it's done expanded. And then also the newsletter goes to the White House, to President Biden, and, well, President Obama and then Vice President Biden, you know. So it goes to the White House as well. And we just aim to keep putting great information in great people's face to make a difference out here and make a change out here in this world. So if you have a story that you would like to see in our newsletter, please don't hesitate to email us as well. And let's look at your story and get it out there. You know, if it's a story that can help someone, we definitely will put it in the newsletter because we're all about change, you know. And also, if you'd like to advertise on our online TV show, The Streets Don't Love You Back, web TV, please get with us on that. And if you would like to advertise on a visual TV show on Time Warner Cable, Keep It Real Show and Change Show, please get with us on that. So we got a lot of things going on kicking off the 2012. And once again, we would like to just thank everybody who supported us from day one and still on board, and those we picked up along the way that support us. So we're just thanking God for all the blessings He's done sent our way and that we can send someone else's way. So that's the topic of it all. And I just wanted to give a shout out to everybody that books me and my missus to speak in their city and to have our book signings in their stores and different things. So we just want to thank everybody who supports us.
Definitely. And as many of you know, Rob's brother was killed in a drive-by shooting in Detroit, Michigan on October 30th. And we have a cash reward out leading for the arrest and conviction of the murderer who shot and killed him. So if anyone has any information, please get with us as soon as possible. Rob, you want to talk a little bit on that real quick?
Once again, yeah, me and my brother, we had just met in September of 2011. I never knew my brother even exist until March 16th, 2011, when our father was passing. So this blew me away. You know, Sydney was one of the oldest brothers that I had by their mother, Miss Daniel. And I have five brothers by Miss Daniel, and the oldest was Sydney, and then I have Christopher, and then I have Marvell, Robbie, and Corey. So I never had a chance to meet Robbie or Marvell or Christopher in person. They're in prison right now and doing long stretches, but I do write them, and they do receive the newsletter every month. So they definitely up on what's happening and what we're doing out here. And they definitely supporting and, you know, giving back and helping to make change within the side of the walls as well. So that's a blessing right there, you know. So they was just overwhelmed as I was to find out that they had an older brother. So, yeah, it's just still setting in, you know. But, yeah, it was great meeting Sydney and Corey that day. And, next thing you know, he was dead. So we got to understand that we have to put these guns aside, and we have to understand that when you kill someone, you mainly kill yourself, because you really take your own freedom, you know, and sometimes you never see the light of day once they put you in that cage, you know. So you got to think before you get out here pulling these triggers or doing anything wrong for real, you know, because being in anybody's cage is no joke, you know. So start thinking about the choices you make out here and the moves you make out here.
That's right. And we're going to be in Detroit in February with a book signing that we have at Harlem World Music and Video. That's 21700 Greenfield Road in Oak Park. We're also going to be speaking at an event with Miss Ovella Andreas of Christ Temple Apostolic Church there in Detroit. Every month she has a citywide day of peace and healing, a big rally that she does. And in January she did a memorial to for Sydney. But we're coming out in February and we're going to do another big rally also in memorial for Sydney, but to bring about awareness to to the youth and to all those that, you know, we need to have an end to violence. And, you know, we all need to pray and educate the young children that need to know the detriment that happens when you commit an offense on somebody else. And, you know, not only to that person, but to their family and to your own family, because eventually, you know, you're going to be killed or locked up and put away. So it really snowballs and affects a lot of people. And so we'll be in Detroit February 22nd, speaking there. And then also in March, we'll be down in Atlanta, Georgia, for the Word on the Street Literary Festival, and also speaking at a couple of schools down there. So we'll have more details with that to come. And then also in 2012, I'll be putting out my new book, The Melting Pot of Corruption, and that's dealing with gangs and drugs in America. So if you don't have anything else, Rob, we're going to go ahead and play this piece of us speaking at the Bob Murphy School here in Rialto, California, just a couple weeks ago. And then we'll have our chat room open for questions, and then at the end, if there's any callers or any questions, we'll be free to answer. But you think you'll enjoy this this piece here of us talking to the youth at the Alternative Day School in Rialto. So stay tuned. Check us out. We'll still be here on chat. We'll be with you. Please enjoy.
Thank you. children is doing the radio. He does his radio show. So me and this little woman and my his grandfather, who was in the life of his stepfather. So 3 minutes should be in his life, should be his interest and fear. Yeah. Oh, that is better. His mom was there, yeah. What about that age, 9 or 10? They referred to an area that was really game infested, and of course, the East Side of Detroit really, one of the worst areas in the world. One day at 10 years old, he got robbed with his jacket in the middle of winter. And went back to the neighborhood, and 10 years old, he just ran back to the neighborhood and talked to the boys that were hanging out. And he was only 13, 14, 15, 16. But they were gang members, and he wanted to tell them what happened. And they said, well, we'll help you go get your coat back, and then he took it. And so he went and they got the boy, and he was having him a big 45 gun. So he had to get close with him to the issue of that.
They have a holiday, but they don't have a holiday, you know? They I couldn't get caught up in nothing, smoking cigarettes and all of that. But I never did that. You know, I was taught by guys who didn't do that. My mother didn't drink. My mother didn't smoke. My brothers don't smoke. My brothers don't drink. My only sister, none of us, there's five of us, I'm the only. None of us have never drank, smoked, and did. You know what I mean? So it's about choice now. And it's your choice whether you want to do something or whether you want to have nothing. And that's to have something, and that's to get educated to have something. Because without that, man, you don't know what it's like. You know? So please see your hands up, people that want to stay educated and still want something out of life. Let me see your hands. Now give yourself a round of applause. Education is the key. Education gets you to live up on that deal the right way. Because being a drug dealer, that's a very, very momentary chance, bro. You might fall for a day. You might fall for a month. You might fall for 3 years. But when it's bad for you, you can count for Christmas and a lot of Christmas. You feel me? So it's about staying where you at. We all make mistakes, like I said, but you're in a place where you get educated. You're in a place where you got people that's willing to educate you, willing to work with you. And when you do that and make a change within yourself to become something, the change is all within yourself. You know, teacher can't make you change. Mom and dad can't make you change. You as individuals have to change your own thinking pattern. And your thinking pattern must come from negativity, and you must say to the positive, and that is part of the balance of being successful in life, you know, because negativity breeds negativity, positivity breeds positivity, and whoever you choose to surround yourself with, that becomes your rise or your fall, you know. So with that being said, if you have to ask me any questions, let me get some questions from you guys, and we can start dialoguing with each other. Anybody have any questions? Yes, ma'am.
I would advise teachers to give these students a mental illustration of what they can do lifestyle.
Wow, that's a whole.
You know what? We don't deal with it a little bit more today.
Right, that's a whole different universe in there. You feel me? When you hit the penitentiary gate, all this out here, this is nothing. You can't call mama, you can't call daddy, you can't call nobody when they're just beating your ass and death locking you up in that hole. Call mama all day long, but guess what? Mama, daddy, the prosecutor, DEA, I don't care how many motions you find, none of that. Because when you get in that prison system, you become a straight-up jumper. They don't even call you by your name. You feel me? When you be in that hole, you be in there with no clothes on. You be straight-up butt-neck. The food is passed through a door. Feel me? And if you're not the strong person, when you in that hole, you will go crazy. I would say the best of the best. Cut their own throat. So that's why they had to start taking certain things out of the prison system. You know, I've seen cats hang their own self. You feel me? The ones that say, I'm thugging now and I'm this big guy. Believe me, prison is designed to break you down. Prison is no place where you're trying to be. Prison is no place where you're trying to say, I'm thugged because I done did 2 or 3 years. To come out, the prison system is a blessing. It's not no guarantee you coming out of prison. Because the judge say 5 or 10 years. But within that 5 year span, your buddy might be on woke up with a dear child that a woman done left. Now you in trouble. Because you the first closest one to him. So you stuck all up. You feel me? So you got to understand that is not where you're trying to land your life at. That's not where you're trying to go to say I'm a missing joint. But there's so many not making it out that gate, bro. But there's so many that get up in that gate. And when you get up in there, especially you cats that don't know nobody, that don't have no kind of reputation, no kind of thug about reputation. You just kind of find left in the video on TV. stop at the door. It ain't nothing up to them but shame. And the only person getting them is guys who have been there, guys who know what it's about. And inside the wall, the police even work with the inmates. So don't think you better go up there and switch the game. You know? Now you follow what somebody knows for. When you wake up, when you go to the bathroom, quiet time, quiet out. You know what I mean? When the whole prison get on lockdown, somebody done tripped out. When you're locked in your gate for 23 hours a day, it's got some cat locked in there for 24 hours a day that never come out of recreation. So don't get it twisted that you're going to go up there and change something. That is a world within its own self, bruh. You know what I mean? And most of those go into the prison system. That's like our industry. You can have run, you can get weed, you can get coke, you can get pills. You know what I mean? I done seen cats that have 4 or 5 pounds of weed in there. 2 or 3 ounces. Guess what? So they're working with the police. That is just an inside world within its own self. The only thing ain't up there is women. But you got fans up there with the Kool-Aid jumping around, you know what I mean, when you play football and basketball. That's the only thing funny to this. Feel me? Now, if you switch over and want to see that, then that's on you. You feel me? But don't think you're going to go up there and change the game. The game will change you, bro. Believe that. The game will change you and your walls. Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to know also, how does it affect your emotional
security and the prison system, like I just said, is designed to break you down. It's not designed to make you spiritual. It's not designed to uplift you. It's not designed to suffer for one thing. Keep you miserable. Now, it's up to you as an individual to have your own spirituality. You feel me? And spirituality is something that's taught. And it should be taught from day one to a youngster. Because spirituality is what keeps you going in life. Believing in the higher power is what keeps all of us on if we believe in the power. No? But once again, there's so many guys that come to the prison system, they bust out here. But when they get up there, why don't kill themselves? Because they cannot cope with living inside their walls. So what I'm trying to tell y'all is you have a chance to do something for life. Because going into the prison is not a good look. But there's so many go in, and like I said, they don't come out. You know? And I'm quite sure there's individuals in here that have had people go to prison and they get probably family members in prison. You know? And if you speak to them family members in the gate, I can't teach you, they keep you 100 with you. They're going to tell you, this definitely ain't what you're trying to come to. But once they put you in that hole, first captain said, I'm over 1 year, 2 years, there's no limitation where you can go in there and they just give you 2 weeks. It depends on what kind of Burger King you're going to get. It depends on what kind of tickets you're going to get rolled up on. You know what I mean? Like I said, it's cats that go in there and go crazy, man. They say, you know, they shoot doors things. You did? But they went in as a regular guy or a regular young lady. That whole program is a breakdown system. Where you at right now is an uplifting system. See, education is uplifting. But the prison system is a downfall spiral. You know? And I don't know if you all know it or not, but they have private sector where you can build your own prison. And the government is filling up within 1 hour. 1 hour, that's your own freedom. You know what I mean? And it's a business now. It ain't like you go to prison, I'm going to eat 3 meals a day, I'm going to sit back on the phone all this way, and I'm going to fill it up with God, I'm running. Nowadays, you do not do all that. The first prison, they just wake out of. So there's no way to. You know what I'm saying? Some reason you can't even walk over the yard no more. going to kick it with your homeboy or whatever. You know? Some prisons now, you have to pay to be in prison. Now tell me how they that is. I done did a crime. You locked me up. But now I got to tell you to stay locked up. You feel me? You go in the hole, bro. You feel me? In first penitentiary, you make $20 a day. That means you make $7 a week, $28 per month. So by the time you start your hygiene and all that, you back at square one. And don't be no guy who smokes cigarettes or drinks coffee. You in trouble, man. You in trouble. And guess why you're in trouble? Because everybody in the store president or you can get rich for who you expect for staying in the water home. You drink too much coffee, you can't even want to drink coffee. So every day somebody has no sale. Trying to cheat you because you own everybody. Money and cigarettes and coffee. And it's paper money that runs through the joint, too. But coffee and cigarettes is the most powerful thing that runs through any prison in America, in any state. Cigarettes and coffee, if you got that, you may. You feel me? And the cats, they got all the stuff you need in there. They got real cocaine, they got real heroin, they got real weed, and real feeding. And it all runs by the inmate and it goes. You feel me? And everybody don't understand because you go in there, the drug can't stop. No. It's still wrong. But once again, it's up to you to make that choice to stay away from the drug thing, even in the joint. Because if you're tied up into that, then you don't know how to get to a fist. You know? Oh, bro, let me tell you something. The women prison is worse than the men prison. You feel me? You got women prisons, bro. And stuff, some of the women kill you just like the guys. You feel me? That's why I say you can't get it twisted when we talk about prison. Men and women prison is the very worst place to be, bro. You know? And it's crime on crime. And it's a lot of killers that you hear about that go on in prison that you will never hear about it on the news. It will never make the TV news. It will never make the newspaper news. You feel me? Because that's a whole different society within a society, bro. You know? Like I said, you can call mom all day long, but guess what? They will not even let you use the telephone. So you twist it now. Can't use the phone. You're trying to write kites out to the governor talking about governor. I need you. Your letters don't even leave the prison system. Period. That's a controlled society, bruh. That's why education and where y'all at today with this secretary, got to take advantage of it. But if you don't take advantage of it, I don't care how tough you think you are. I don't care what clicks you say you're rolling with. But I believe, well, when you hit that gate, that's a whole other universe. You can be bigger than all the world on that. They don't care. But they got things that will bring you all the way down to your knees, well, period. So it's about trying to educate and write your thing up out here. You feel me? We all make mistakes. I made it. And it almost cost me my life. But I'm just standing before you by the grace of God, bro. So the life I was living was real tragic. No? But I had a reputation. You know what I mean? If you ain't got a reputation, if you don't know people, it's over with when you hit the game, right? So if you get up around the wall for where you're at. And you take advantage of, you know, take advantage of, and look in the mirror and say, hey, I done did wrong, but I have a chance that, you know. Look at where you done did wrong at. Inventory your life, you know. Look at where you did wrong at. There's always somebody that needs to help. When I was coming up, I didn't think it was somebody to help. You know what I mean? Nowadays, we got a lot of programs, we got a lot of mentors, we got a lot of things to help kids get. You know what I mean? And then I'm going to help things because, like, everybody's on Facebook. Sometimes I'm more tripping. But guess what? While you're on Facebook and while you're on the internet, that's the most powerful thing going. So you know how many people have got rich by getting them a PayPal account, selling them some socks, some shoes, some drawers, whatever. You feel me? Because I've been at the normal house. And it's a judgment house. You feel me? So that's something I'm going to put on your mind. The internet is the real hustle now. You ain't got to go and check your email. You might not even be seeing one in there for stuff with the t-shirts and hats or whatever you want to say. But if you're trying to call yourself trying to be a dope dealer, man, that's the oldest thing in American history, bro. So the government is the leading holder in America. They ain't going to let you get more money than them. They ain't going to let you get more money than them. You see what I mean? Oh, well, come on. You can even say it already. If you talk down, then you're more than likely to go. You feel me? But the biggest danger in the world is the government. The government controls you. The government controls me. The government controls everybody who's moving across America. When they move you off the street, they can come in your door. Let's say this is your door right here. They can come in your house and take you out of there. Right now, you feel me? So, any most of the things about you better get away from that in Paris no more. You know what I mean? But see how they can come right in your house and kill you, and nothing can be done about that. The CIA, the federal government, the DEA, all these people is designed and put in place. The CIA was bringing the dope on this to my homeboy, Cleaver, which is wrong. When he was involved in the gang today, he thought he just had his neck. Harold Reagan and George Clooney was able to move on that for the nigga Rockwell channel. And he just thought he had his neck. They were taking the guns and sending them over to nigga Rockwell and sending this way to that drug company. But when they got only be kind of freeway with Ricky Ross, just as they did, they put him in that other place that they owned. And that's the prisoners. They own all the prisoners across the world. They the only ones outside of America. So you can never, ever be dismissed. You hear me? I don't care who you is. The cartel can't beat the system. You can't beat the system. I can't beat the system. Nobody can beat the system, brother. Yes, sir.
Hey, about to say. A lot of them think they have to respect out here, but when they get inside, you want to respect them. You get inside, too, you can't do it tomorrow.
Bruh, that's all great. I'm glad you made that point. Out here, you might disrespect the man, or you might disrespect the woman, and they might just say, okay, like y'all young folks say, my bad. In the penitentiary, they ain't going to say my bad. What they going to be doing is putting you in a bag. You feel me? Because in the prison system, respect is a big thing. You feel me? When you're in the joint, respect is a big thing. Respect is more than money, more than cigarettes, more than thought. If you just respect a man, you're going to die right on the spot, or they're going to set it up and you be ready to go to jail. Somebody's going to put about 50 or 100 holes to you. And I'm going to do stuff right there, or whether you're in the yard, or coming to the town hall, or whatever. But you guys got a chance to life, man. You know what I mean? And you got to respect. You got to respect your mama. You got to respect your elders. Like I said, we those up in the 70s and 80s and early 90s, we respected everybody in the world. The old ladies didn't have no money. They got money every day. You know what I mean? Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, all of that. We said a man fighting in the neighborhood. People nowadays, they think about themselves. And self cannot make magic happen. You need a team. You might be the leader of the team, but you need a team to make anything happen. Kobe Bryant, he can't win no championship by himself shooting 100 free throws. We need the whole team to win the championship. You know? And that's what everybody has to realize. Life is a team effort. Life is not just I. Life is a team effort. And if you're trying to really do something in life, you have to listen to the people who've been there, who've done that, and who God has blessed.
to teach you something, because it's all about passing the blessings on. You know what I mean? And cutting it all in chains are going to be thugs out. Because, like I said, the thug life, the drug life, going to be a gangster. And that's all the oldest things in American history, bro. You will never win against these people we call our government, man. You know? So you're wasting your time and put too much effort if you call yourself trying to be a drug. You're wasting too much time if you call yourself trying to be a drug. So they got another spot for you, and they own that too, like I said, and that's the penitentiary. And they own the federal and state joint, and they own all the joints outside of the country. So, it's another deal, man. You know, we try. And we been eating with these. You feel me? When I was young, man, we looked this thing in a whole different way. I was you one time. You know what I mean? I was you at one time, bro. You see? So when they gave me that 1 to 10 years in the penitentiary, I had to sit back and take a strong look, because I could have did it from 1 all the way to that 10. If they would have flopped me on the road after that 1 year, I could have walked right up into that 10. You know what I mean? But God had grace on me, because after 1 year, they paroled me out of the penitentiary, and that was in 1994. And I had to sit back to that joint set. Because I learned how to educate myself. I learned how to listen to others. I learned how to listen to life. And then half of our things come back out here in these streets. And they say, Rob, they said you got a chance, man. They said you got a chance to go out there and make a difference in yourself, man. You know? But I never dreamed that I would be standing up here talking to these young troops or anybody. And I want to thank my wife for that, because my wife is the one trying to talk to me about my lifestyle, and I should go out and speak to others and show others that God is good and what God has brought me from. Because if you don't go out and spread the message and show people what God has brought you from, then they don't know you're there. I lived a very private life for a very long time. So I always had to give big up to my wife for being the person who encouraged me to come out and speak to Johnson and encourage Johnson to do the right thing. No, that's a watch the people that don't believe. Well, the people that don't believe in God, they will, I'm going to just say it straight like this, they will burn in hell and perish. Bottom line. But if you ain't believing in God, who are you, the devil? And the devil ain't going to win against God either. So once again, you already don't fail that puts you back in the talking about.
Period. Anybody else? So,
yeah, so, you know, that's why I love the life, and once again, I just want to thank God.
Came from. Because if I would have, if I would have liked the life I came from,
I'm going to be doing God's work. Kept from the penitentiary, kept from the street, they started calling me. The memo person had to the last name. They started calling me, saying, I heard like your brother, God. What you want to do? I said, it's easy to put the word out as fast. Their whole family, with one phone call, but once again, my beautiful wife, daughter, had changed my whole mentality back to who I am now. Because it was so easy to go back to that other guy. But if I went back to that other guy, I'd have been just as bad as all this man to kill my brother. So we have to understand, once again, when God gives us that second chance, we cannot turn our back on it. And if I were to come to that, I would turn my back on everything I've built over these last few years and help some people like you all. So what I did, I called all my homeboys to shout out to the Christmas in Detroit. I called another wife to a whole set of churches in Detroit, and those streets in Detroit. I got three brothers doing life in the penitentiary. They're never coming out here again. They said, what you want to do, big brother? And called all that damn, you know? All of them in the prison system for more than drug traffic. But what would it have been if we were the one that killed those people? I would have been such a bad man once again to kill my brother. So what we did was put up a check reward to bring the guy or the people to justice that killed my brother. And we've been getting great results. And everything is looking up, and one guy is already locked up in the county jail now. Because money talks, he has walked all day long. Feel me? So I didn't have to go out and do nothing wrong. Because when he killed my brother, he killed himself. You feel me? Because now he has to face his death. And he has to face his face. You know what I mean? But I'm not going to sit there and tell you everybody's feeling like I'm feeling. You know what I'm saying? Because you got to realize, once again, I got three brothers that do a life in the penitentiary. For everybody not feeling like I feel with a certain pain. But I can put it out here, focus on advice. But once again, when you get in the prison wall, bro, whole bit long, ladies and gentlemen. You know? And we got to understand that what you do out here on the outside for somebody's family, you never know who's on the inside of the wall that don't care about you. So if you do a life with the Christians, you don't care about nothing that's moving. So they can't give you no more time until you're there until you die. If you understand it. So you're not trying to put yourself there. And I thank God once again that I had a chance to meet my brother Sidney. And we look just like our father. You know, it just blew me away to meet him. And I didn't know about him all these years. And we grew up right there in the city of Detroit, not too far from each other. But I had to question my father, like, wow, Bob, why you never let us know about each other? You know what I'm saying? All this came out at the time when my father passed in March. And it blew me away that I had all these brothers and sisters. And all of them were right there in the city of Detroit all these years. So, you never know what's lurking in the game. You know what I'm saying? But sometimes our parents be having situations that they don't say it to them, they die in bed. So, I was happy I had a chance to meet. And, I'm going to reach out and write a voice because I want to meet my other three brothers first as well, you know? And me and my wife send them stuff every month. And we talk to them on the phone, and I'm just overjoyed that they do have somebody out in the outside world that definitely loves, they want brothers, they probably don't have brothers, they probably none
one of my folks hit the streets on Love You Back. And me and my wife just launched our clothes line and everything. And everything stems from my book. And we have another book out called Never Hit a Woman Until You Win It. That book I wrote it, it's about domestic violence towards women, kids, and boys and girls. The reason I wrote that book is I was sitting at home, at my home in Arizona last year, and a woman had flashed up on the Arizona news, and you know how they had cameras in the courtroom, and she was telling the judge that she pleaded for her life, that a strange husband was going to kill her and her child. Well, the judge ignored what the lady said in the courtroom, and a little while later, flashed news again, came on, and the guy had killed himself, killed his child, and killed his wife. I was outraged about that, because a lot of judges do not pay attention when a woman says she feared for her life, coming in this courtroom, head half feet off. But he still gonna get his man the right to see his child. But look at me, Ron. I'm messed up. This is what he does. And you got paperwork in front of you saying this guy does it. But this judge didn't understand that. He overrides that. So I was outraged about that. So I wrote the book, Coming to the Woman, and me and my wife been strong advocates towards domestic violence towards women and kids. And my thing is, like, and I say it all the time, I say it to the judge, if a judge makes the wrong decision every time when it comes to a woman's life, she's standing in front of you with paperwork, knowing this guy is a domestic violence guy that does what he's doing. And you make the call, and a murder is in place for the lady and the kid no longer alive, you need to be charged with murder. You're in the law of the law. You need to be charged with murder. Because now we have a child kid. Sometimes we have a whole family kid. Because this sucker didn't know how to go about his business when the woman said, I don't want to be wild anymore. You can't make no woman love you, man. You can't make no woman more beat you because you beat her half to death. You feel me? You living in the house with a time bomb, for real. Because the more you beat on that woman, you land in a time bomb. And then all of a sudden, when the woman kills you, they want to lock her up. This wasn't right now. That right me and my wife from the penitentiary right in California. See, no. They've been in that 24 years, 15 years, because they hugged and kept violating them. They kept going to the court system saying, I need your help. But the minute they kill one of you, suckers, then they doing life in the penitentiary. Learn how, when a woman says she don't want to be bothered, learn how to go your own way. So if I guarantee you down the stretch, they're going to lose up our pity. And it ain't going to be nice. So I'm letting you know the freedom out here, brother. Women is not old, beat me half to death. They say that I'm going to love you. And second, you know, I'm going to keep running around being scared because you back to the test. It's going to too much. You don't come out fresh. So you keep backing these women in corners. A lot of people want me to go, ain't going to make this citizen. You want me to find back. So, hey, let's start keeping your hands to yourself. Because if you don't want nobody to meet your mother, you don't want nobody to meet your foot. You feel me? And see, I'm always going to get that. Don't touch my sister. Don't touch my mother. Period. So it's going to be there on the dead chat. And you ain't going to make it to nobody before it goes. Period. We ain't got to go down there and make no police report. So this is a double report, huh? Sorry, man. And that's your mom, as I speak. Because nobody has a right to be our women. They don't have a father. They don't need you to raise them. They already raised. How are you going to raise a grown woman?
feel me? That's what you gentlemen have to understand, and that's what you young ladies have to understand. You do not let no man violate you. And if you start off with the slapping and all that, he ain't playing. The next thing you know, slap coming to me, beat coming to murder, because he might do you the wrong way, and you dead. So you got to understand love. Don't hurt. Love. You're not here. You do not violate nothing that you say is love. You do not feel nothing you say is love, and you do not distress or discourage nothing you say is love. I have a big problem with any man who do that. I don't respect no man who don't respect his love. I don't respect no man who don't respect a woman. Period. So we have to understand, bruh, this game is real. And you can't always put your hand on certain people's sisters and mamas. You can believe that. But you ain't gonna make it in the world. And he ain't got to worry about going down there trying to know a peace treaty on. Because the peace treaty already up in the line when you put the call in. So we got to understand. Learn how to keep your hands to yourself. Your hands ain't made to be women. They made to work, but not work on our women. You feel me? So we must understand, let's do the right thing, ladies and gentlemen, you know? And I just want to say, any last words, because it's been a true blessing to be here and talk to you youngsters. And I hope everybody got something out of speaking today, you know? I want to thank y'all for having me on the planet.
And welcome back here to the Streets Don't Love You Back show. And once again, that was Rob and I speaking at the Bob Murphy School in Rialto, California. And we give a big thanks out to Young Visionaries, Karen Stone, for bringing us out there and allowing us to speak to the youth. We're going to close tonight. We want you to join us next week with Cynthia Metcalf-Miller. She has a wonderful story of addiction and abuse and how she was able to overcome it and change her life. And you won't want to miss this story. January 11th, 8:30 Pacific time, 11:30 Eastern time. And have a great week, and remember, the streets don't love you back.